Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence that we so tangibly feel. It's so obvious that you're here. It's obvious. So, Lord, we just sit in this place of worship, and we pray that this word, this message, is not just a turning of a page, but is actually still sitting in that place of worship. Lord, use me to speak your word, and I thank you for the hearts that it will fall on. I pray that it falls on good ground and brings forth much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. I bless you, man. Isaiah 43 and 1 says this: "But now thus saith the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I'm going to paraphrase that. Basically, he's saying, I'm your savior. You are precious in my sight, and I've called you and created you for my glory. I want to speak today on being carriers of his glory. There's two types of glory. It has two definitions. There's intrinsic glory, and there's ascribed glory. Intrinsic glory, I love this glory, which when we were talking about the glory of God, intrinsic means whether you give him glory, whether no one has to give him glory. Glory is just in him and on him. So intrinsic means, like the verse says, if you don't praise him, the rock's going to cry out. In other words, he's going to get glory, whether you give it to him or not. But then the word ascribed glory is where you come in. Some of us think, oh, God doesn't need my praise. Oh, he doesn't need my worship. But yes, he does. He set it up for you to give him glory, which is called ascribed glory. That means you ascribe to him praise. You ascribe to him glory. So you are carriers of his glory. In the Old Testament, they carried an ark. I remember that story. They carried an ark of the covenant around, and that represented the glory of God. And everywhere they went, they would always win. They were always winning battles. They were always carrying the presence of, it represented the presence of God. There were three things that were in that ark. It was Aaron's rod, which is the staff. It was the manna, which is they call the bread, and it was the tablets. And in that, those represent three things. The staff represents the power of God. The manna represents the provision of God. And the tablets represent the promises of God. So within that ark, they had provision, power, and what did I say? Provision, power, and promises of God. Thank you. You're going to help me preach today. Provision, promises, and power. But then if we look at the New Testament, that ark no longer exists in that sphere. The ark is in us. We carry the glory. Now, there's a specific way we need to carry that glory, because when they would carry the glory, they had to carry it. They had sticks, the rods in the side, and there was a specific instructions on how they were to carry that glory. They were not to touch it, because sometimes we can get real familiar and we want to touch the glory. Or as I say, even a worship leader myself, I say there's times we want to copy and paste worship sets. In other words, it's like, well, God moved on this set before, so let's just Apple C or Control C, and then it'll go over here and what Control V. We want to copy and paste because we're thinking God is going to move the same way he moved before. But just like he wanted them to carry that ark, he wants us to carry his presence a specific way. It wasn't just, and because they tried to put it on the cart as well. They put it on this cart because they try to make it easier. How many times in life do we do that? We want to make things easier when it comes to even the presence of God. And we say, you know what? We'll just set this card. We'll just set it on there and it'll be fine. No, God wants it to be carried and intentionally carried. We were made for his glory. We were made to give him glory. As we just sung, all of the glory belongs to him. And so it's interesting, as I was like, Lord, I believe this is the word for this, for the church today, for Liberty Church. And each song, it just kept building upon the glory of God and what we're called to do and how we're called to give him glory. Now, you have this thing called, where we say soda. By the way, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, not from. I've been there 17 years, but I'm actually from Akron, Ohio, which is up north in the States. But as you can tell from my accent, you know, you probably figured I'm from the States. But we up there, we call it pop. We actually call it pop in Ohio, Midwest. But down south, they say cold drink or soda water, and you guys call it soft drink. Yeah, check that out. Yeah, just like you don't say gas station. You say petrol. You guys are so fancy. But yeah, you shorten words to everything. Everything's these short words. I'm like, what are you saying? What? But I love it. But if you were to take a soft drink machine and you were the owner, let's say you're the owner of that soft drink machine and you set it up and you fill it with Coke and Coke Zero. I like Coke Zero. You fill it with all these different drinks and then someone were to come to it, put money in it and push a Coke and nothing came out. Then they push, I go Coke Zero, nothing comes out. Then they start going Fanta and just different drinks that they don't even want. They just want to get something out of it. And if nothing came out of that machine, after you put money in it, there's a sign that goes on that machine. What would that sign say? Out of order. That's some of us. Because God has created us for a specific thing. He gives us life, and all he wants is glory. He gives us strength, and all he wants is praise. But sometimes we can get out of order because what we were made to do, we're not finishing the process, the cycle of we give him glory, and then he allows us to share in that glory. Then we give him glory again, and then it just continues to cycle through. So we don't want to be out of order because all the glory belongs to him, and we want to complete what he's called us to do. The glory of God is the weight of his majesty and goodness, as well as the name or reputation he gets from showing himself to the world. Let me say that again. The glory of God is the weight of his majesty and goodness, as well as the name or reputation he gets from showing himself to the world. As he reveals himself as creator, sustainer, and judge, all praise goes to him. He elicits praise. He expects praise, and it belongs to him. We talked about intrinsic glory and ascribed glory. We want to give him credit. We want to pin on him the glory that is due his name. We are the carriers. I talked about the ark, and it's in 2 Samuel 6. It says, when those who were carrying the ark took six steps, they made a sacrifice. Then David, who was dancing before the Lord, this is when he came back in town. The ark had been captured. The Philistines took it, and this so much happened beyond that story. But they had to get the glory. David said, I must get the glory back and bring it back into the city of David. As he comes in, he's dancing. He's praising God. He's giving him glory. Then there's a certain wife of his. Her name is Micah. She despised him because he just started praising God out of his garment. And she said, what kind of king are you out there today? She made fun of his praise. And what happened with her? She was barren. There's times when we are supposed to give God praise or we're saying, why do they praise him like that? Why do they worship him like that? We got to be careful because we may be shortchanging ourselves from what God wants to do in our lives. And we're carrying something so we can give him glory. So we're carriers of this glory as well. And it's so we can make a difference in our community. There should be no reason when you step into a grocery store or any type of place, a mall, that it shouldn't shift because you're there. Because you're a carrier of his glory. Just your smile alone, they should see something different about you and say, whoa, something's different, and it should shift the atmosphere where you are at. So David was overjoyed bringing this ark back into the city of David. They followed this. Thing I love about this, too, is that they not only carried this ark, but they followed this ark, this glory. Imagine that. How do you carry the glory, but yet you follow the glory. Something you usually carry, how do you carry it, but then you follow it? That's very interesting how that works. But when you're a carrier of his glory, what they would do is carry it to different locations, then they would set it down, they would set their tents around this glory, this ark that represented the glory of God, and they would just wake up to the glory. They would go to sleep to the glory. But I just want you to know that you're carriers of this glory, and allow this glory continue to just be in your life and overtake you. The ark of God, the ark of the covenant. Remember, we mentioned the staff, the power of God. The manna symbolizes the provision of God, and the tablets symbolizing the word of God, his glory. Whatever he speaks has to come to pass in his promises. We thank God for that. We have been given supernatural power, provision of God, and promises. Here's the thing, too. Then they left the glory. When they were in battle, they lost track of the glory. They lost track of the ark, and they had lost it to the Philistines, which I mentioned earlier. We want to make sure we don't lose track of the glory. We don't want to lose it in the midst of going through something, things in our life and battles in our life. We don't want to lose track of there's still the glory that God deserves, whether we're feeling like it or not. Don't lose track of the glory. And I love it in this scripture where it talks about the Philistines had afflicted them, and it says the ark of Israel must remain, the ark of God of Israel must not remain with us. That's when the ark was captured, and when it was in the wrong hands, it actually brought curses to the people that it was in the wrong hands with, until it got back to those that were called to carry his glory. We want to bring the ark back to this city. We want the ark to be in your heart. You are the carriers. You follow and you carry. You are created in the image of God. We're created in his image. And we get to share and participate in this divine glory as image bearers of God. How many believe that you are image bearers of God? His divine glory is an important theme throughout Scripture. As Christians, we are instructed to let our lights shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father. So it's okay for someone to, like, worship. When I do consulting for worship teams and worship leaders, and I talk to worship teams a lot about it's okay for someone to see you, because some people don't look at me. They want to close their eyes and keep their eyes closed the whole time. And worship leaders, you can close your eyes, but you need to still watch what's going on as well. But there's times where we don't want people to see us, but if they do see you, you want to point them to Jesus. So it's no problem them seeing you, but let them glorify Father. You're the Father. So you don't want that glory to stay on you. He gives you glory, but don't let it stay on you. Give it right back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory is the favor. It's the grace. And we thank God for even when the glory that he said don't mishandle and don't misuse, he didn't want us to become so familiar that we would just be in a place of just mishandling it and just say, okay, that's glory, but we just want to receive praise for ourselves. But he always wants us to continue to push it toward him. In the house of Joshua, he said this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love how I saw the children up here worshiping. And we need to continue to teach them to give God glory and to give him praise. You're not too young to carry that glory. You carry that glory, and it blesses the city. It blesses the house. It blesses the people. It blesses the community and the church. Before I call Lee up here, I just want to talk about a few things, and then I will ask, kind of segue into you, where I want you to talk about I'm setting them up now. You don't know this, but where you're talking about the gospel, but I want to talk about the things that can block the glory. glory blockers. One is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is that thing that creates bitterness inside. And if you're bitter against someone and you're not releasing that, that can block the flow of the glory God wants to bring through you, to you, and through you. Here's another one, complaining. Uh-oh. You might be that person that's always complaining, or you might know the person that's always complaining. Do you know somebody like that? I don't want nobody to look next to him and be like, don't do that. But complaint, when you're complaining, you're not giving God glory. Therefore, you're blocking and damming up the glory that he deserves from you. Don't let unforgiveness with your maybe bad, have father wounds, or you know your father wasn't there, or your mom hurt you, or different things like that. You need to release that stuff today so you can carry the glory well, so it doesn't hinder you from saying all of the glory is yours, is yours, is yours. You want to be in a place that's in a healthy place. You want to go deeper with him. So those are things that block us. So stay in repentance. Stay in forgiveness. Stay in unity. Lee, if you can come on up. As us as carriers of the glory, I want us to just really hone in on the things I was saying. Look at him. He's so young. He just stepped right up here. I had to take the steps. But Lee, anything that I said that you want to expound on and just kind of go from here?
Yeah.
It's on?
Two? Yep, yeah, we're on. I feel that what you touched on at the end is very relevant right now. I feel that as we look in the book of Acts, we look at they were in one mind and one accord. Yes. And as you know, in the book of Acts, you know, there was a couple that just lied to the Holy Spirit, you know, Ananias and Sapphira. And I really feel God saying right now to the church that even your thought life, even like Will touched on it, offense, you know, envy, jealousy, yeah. all these things that really block the glory. I really feel that God's really putting his finger on that right now in the church. You know, when Peter says judgment will start first in the church, in the house of God. You know, we're all looking for revival. You know, it isn't like God's sitting there going, oh, I'll bring revival later on. It's like right now God's saying that it's the church that needs to come into line with me. It's your thoughts. You know, it says even if you have a lustful thought about a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. You know, we need right now, we need to clean up our act. If I could say that, we need to clean up as a church our thought life, running down our pastors. I'm a pastor, so I know what it's all about. and an evangelist. It's a lot easier to be an evangelist. You just come in and you go leave, you know. But being a pastor, as a pastor, we have to have the right heart. We have to have the right heart for the people as well. We're shepherds. We shepherd the flock. You know, the anointing oil that flows down from the top, yeah, that's through Aaron's beard, you know, flows down from the leadership. And I can tell, I can walk into a church and I can see good leadership, good Holy Ghost leadership. Like I walked in here today and I know Tim and Kim very well. Well, we know each other pretty well. And I can tell a good leadership of shepherds that where the anointing oil flows. And that's what you're experiencing in the meetings. You know, but that comes with a price. It comes with, you know, dying yeah, to yourself. Yep. Dying to the fact that you'll have a congregation member says, I'm leaving your church. And then the next week you see him, you just the love of God. Like I had a great moment with a guy just last week. He told me at my 11-year-old daughter, she's a joker and she likes to play tricks and that on people. And I was in the meeting and I looked over my shoulder and there was this guy and he was so angry. And I said, "What's up, mate?" And he said, "Oh, your daughter and your granddaughters give me a hard time out the front and I'm not coming back here and that's it." And last week I seen him at the meeting, the East Coast tour, and it was such a God moment that, you know, I just put my arm around him and I said, "Hey, brother, you know, whether you come to our church or whether you be part of the ministry, it doesn't matter. I love you and we're friends." You know, that's the heart of God. And I said to God, I said, "Isn't that a great moment, Lord, that's your heart for the church? It's love." You know, we listened to Kim Walker this morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, love has a name. Guess what it is? Jesus.
Yeah.
Love has a name. Jesus. You know, Jesus is all love.
Yes.
You know, we want revival. Yeah. You know, what's revival look like? Revival looks like the church being revived, resuscitated.
Right.
Yeah. We need to be resuscitated.
That's good.
It's not about you, my friend. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him, the price that Jesus paid for you on the cross. You're a son and you're a daughter. You know, just recently we were at a meeting up in Melbourne at our state conference, and they said to us as pastors, the pastors went up to the kids' church. And we just had a 15-minute block where we could just minister into the children. And I remember this night we went up there, me and Pastor Luke from the Sunny Coast. And we walked into the meeting and the kids are all praising Jesus. And they're just so in love with Jesus. And we're there and we're waiting. And the leader says, "Oh, quick, we've got the pastors. We've got to bring them in." And we said, "No, just let the kids worship God. Let them worship Him." So it went to 6:30. That was our block. It was over and done with. And he says, "Oh, we better give you some time." So we spent a little bit of time with the children. But you know what? There's no ambition. There's no jealousy. There's nothing in the children. And the Holy Spirit moves so powerfully. And then the children baptized the other children with the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Like they said, "Who's baptized? Who's full of the Holy Ghost? Who's been baptized with the Holy Ghost?" And about 6 children put up their hand. I said, "Well, come up the front." And they come up the front and then they baptized the other 30 children with the Holy Spirit.
Glory.
You know, God isn't waiting. He's waiting for who? Us.
Yeah.
And this is the time right now where we as a church can see the power of God.
Yes.
Right now.
Amen.
All the gifts. And you know, I didn't even know that I was going to be preaching here today. And I thought, "Oh, this is a great time off, you know, East Coast tour, no preaching. Oh, it's great." And then I was at Bateau Bay. You know, our pastors have to put messages together and we preach to the same people every week. So it's just not like an evangelistic message. You've got to have a new one every week. That's the truth, isn't it, Kim? Tim? So I was in Bateau Bay and the Lord put on my heart and it sort of coincides with what Will's saying. And God knows, God knew that we would be here today. We didn't know.
Yeah.
We only found out about 8:00 last night, didn't we? Something like that. But God said that my job, just speaking to me particularly, was to inspire and equip the church for the works of ministry.
Yeah.
And we all know Ephesians 4. And I just want to read a bit of that out, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
And it says here, "But each one of us has grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." You know, we see in the parables, one was given 5 talents, one was given 2 and one was given 1. The measure. It doesn't matter about how great you look or how you look to men. It's the measure and the grace that God gives you. It's all for Jesus. It's not for anyone else, but for Jesus. That's why we're here. We're not here to exalt ourselves. I know that Daniel Hagin's not here to exalt himself. He's here to exalt the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
because he deserves all the honor and all the glory. All about Jesus as little children. Jesus said, if you do not become like these, the little children, he said, do not stop them coming to me. If you do not become as a little child, you will not see the kingdom. Your heart needs to change. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He defeated the devil. He said, it is finished. Yeah. On the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Devil, you have lost right now. Death is defeated. Death, where is your sting? It's no more. It's been swallowed up in victory.
Yes.
And he gave gifts to men. He gave a gift to you. I get excited about this, my friends. I get excited because you are the most dangerous thing on this earth right now. Yeah. Christ yeah. in you, the hope of glory.
That's it. That's it.
The hope same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within you. You are dangerous. And God wants to use you right now.
Good.
He wants to use you right now. And you know the rest of the passage, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some to prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping, for the building, for the building. You know, nobody marvels, nobody looks at a building being constructed, but they marvel when it's been built. You've been built.
Yeah, that's good.
You've been built right now.
Yes.
And the glory, you can't touch God's glory. God just chose to use you. He just chose to use you. And what a privilege it is. When we look at all the gifts, all you people here, and one's a prophet that prophesies to the evangelists. Don't go to that city, they're going to burn your tent out. I wish I would have had a prophet around me about 3 months ago when our tent caught on fire in the back of our truck. You know, we've all got a job. Mine at the moment is a pastor. I was this gung-ho evangelist that said, oh, all the pastors don't support us. They don't come out and support the evangelist, until God says, all right, boy, I'm going to train you. I'm going to show you what it's like to be a pastor. Oh, wow, geez, haven't I changed my tune? God's got a way to really bring you into a line. My word, he has. You know, 50 years ago, it makes me seem really old. 50 years ago, I was an 8-year-old boy and I was standing in Orange, New South Wales. I don't know, is anyone familiar with Orange, New South Wales? That'll be the next leg of our tour. And I remember at the age of 8 years of age, and there was an old guy standing on post office steps right in the main street, Summer Street of Orange. You know, Wigglesworth was in Summer Street, Orange too. In 2018, it was the 100th year anniversary of Wigglesworth when he came to Orange. And just one of the stories out of that was that there was a lady in a wheelchair at the Strand Theatre. And you can see that when you come into Orange on the right, there's a theatre called the Strand. It's still there because it's heritage listed. It's not a theatre anymore. But Wigglesworth was in the meeting and there was a lady in a wheelchair. And he said to the lady in the meeting, he said, get out of that wheelchair. And she never. So the next night he was walking down the main street of Orange Summer Street. And here come this lady up the main street in a wheelchair. And he said, I thought I told you last night to get out of that wheelchair. And he kicked the wheelchair over. This is a story. The lady got up out of the wheelchair and she walked home. That's God. So at 8 years of age, I'm standing there watching an old grey-headed man. He was probably in his 70s. And my mother said to me, which we were estranged because of religion, I won't go there. And my mother said, that's your grandfather. Preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And you know, in 1993, me and my wife, and this is a story for another time as well, we were raging drug addicts. We ran out of fuel in front of the pastor's house, Julie and Phil Oldfield. You know Phil and Julie Oldfield. My wife said, oh, we go up there and they can give us $10 to put in the car. My wife and went and knocked on the door and she said to Julie, answer the door. And she said, Julie, have you got $10 that we can put into our car? And Julie said, if you tell me what happened to your eye. My wife had a black eye because we had a big argument the night before over drugs. And my wife broke down and cried. This is in 1993. And Phil came to the car. I had two young children. They're in their 30s now. They're only small babies. And he led me to the Lord. This is in 1993. 1994, I'm at home and I had a vision and I seen a mob of stars going through the sky. And in the vision, I said, the Lord God Almighty. And I fell on my face and I got catapulted out of my bed with such electricity and such power that I'd never forget. And it's over 30 years ago. And then not long after that, my mother rang me and said, your grandfather died last night. You know, the gifts are a gift. They're nothing for you to marvel over. They're just a privilege to use. You cannot touch God's glory. You've got a gift in your life. And what's hindering you is you. That's what's hindering you. Not God. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And God is mighty and powerful to do something so special in your life right now. You can enter into the Acts Church that we just spoke about. Yeah. Acts 2, they were in one accord, in one mind, in one place.
Yep. Yes. If anything you've heard have touched your heart, I want to make a call for those who want to be closer to God. Closer to the glory, and also a call for those who may be holding, you know this, you're holding bitterness against someone, and you want to release that hindrance, or if you're, I want all complainers to come up here too. If you're a complainer, we want to rebuke the complaint out of you. But in all seriousness, any hindrance that you feel you have, I want you to, can we all stand? And if you can come forward so we can just pray. If you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, that's where the glory starts. Accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Accepting that He died for your sins and He rose again for your sins. And nothing you can do and will be able to do to justify being right with Him, but just believing that He is who He said He is. So if that's you, if you want to be relieved from the weight and the thing you're carrying that's not like Him, come forward. Or if you want just to be closer to Him and carry this glory well, step forward. I see some of you coming. Yeah, come. And if there's something that some of you, I feel in the spirit that you've been holding on to something way too long, today is the day you let it go. Let that thing go that's been hurting you. Because holding unforgiveness against someone is like you giving them poison, but you're the actual one taking it. You're wanting them to suffer, but you're actually causing yourself to suffer. There's no more suffering. Lee, if you can say a prayer.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness, God. We just thank you today that every stronghold of the enemy broken.
Yes.
Broken right now. In Jesus' mighty name. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit today, God. We repent. Us Australians repent, God, that we've been so far away from you. God, I pray today that you bring us back. I pray, God, for Gosford, New South Wales, Lord, that your glory fall upon this place, God. I pray, God, that your glory fall upon this house, God, that this will be a lighthouse of your glory, God. I thank you for the power and the might, God, that you will release upon your people, God. And God, just as they were in the upper room, 120, and it changed the whole world, it turned it upside down. I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that, God, you will turn this city upside down for your glory, Jesus. And I thank you, God, right now by your Holy Spirit, God, that you will fill people just like the woman at the well, God, that the living water, to ask God for the living water today, for the glory, the living water, for in your innermost being will flow living water. I thank you for the glory right now in Jesus' name, God. I pray you release your anointing in Jesus' name. You release your anointing in Jesus' mighty name.
In the name of Jesus. Father, right now we also ask that we would learn to acknowledge you. Even when we're going through something that's heavy, Lord, we acknowledge you now. We don't try to just take care of it ourselves, but we lay it at the feet of the cross. We lay it at you, Lord God. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to complete us, renew our minds, transform our hearts. May your presence be evident in our lives, Lord God. Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence to permeate every aspect of our lives, fill our thoughts, our actions, our words, in the name of Jesus. Let this glory that's on us be contagious, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for couples. I feel that right now. I pray for couples that are married here that have been battling each other, Lord God. I pray that they would submit themselves to you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the torment that may be on some people, been tormenting them for a while, Lord God. We rebuke it. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We ask that your glory come and arrest the spirit that is not like you in the name of Jesus. We call your power down in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you bring healing in the name of Jesus.